Hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's a conviction. I have that hope. I have that belief. Biblical hope is an expectation, an anticipation of what has been promised by God. It's a confidence that God can work in your life no matter what you're going through. Because you have this hope because of the resurrection. Because he won the victory, you know that if you're going through a trial or a difficulty, as I like to say, all the way from a hangnail to a Holocaust, you know you can have hope because Jesus won the victory through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that gives you hope. So this morning we're going to talk about, I want to impress upon you truths that give you hope. Truths that give you hope, that encourage you. And these truths can come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Take your Bibles and turn there. And I trust these will give you great hope. Here's the first truth that will give you great hope, and that is to recognize the importance of the resurrection. Recognize the importance of the resurrection. Couple thoughts here. The Bible emphasizes the resurrection. The Bible emphasizes the resurrection. It's a prominent theme, especially in the New Testament. All four Gospels talk about the events surrounding the resurrection. The book of Acts talks about the events as a result of and the spread of the gospel because of the resurrection. The epistles, the letters that were written to the churches, they speak of important doctrines that are based upon the resurrection. And then the book of Revelation talks about the return of a resurrected Savior. Amen? So the entire New Testament is founded upon this, the importance of the resurrection. It emphasizes that. And this passage in 1 Corinthians 15 is a classic New Testament text that discusses the resurrection and the ramifications of the resurrection. We're going to look at, first of all, verses 1 through 6. Now pay special attention to verse 3. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the believers at Corinth. He says, I remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, of which you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Some have died. The text says that this is of first importance. The word there we get from prototype. It is the first that must be emphasized. And that means that it is something that you should always remember, something that you should always keep on the forefront of your mind. Think about that as you go through the challenges of life, as you go through the difficulties, as you go through your everyday. The significance of this life is that you're living is to be lived in light of the resurrection. It's of first importance. Here you have the gospel, verse 3. The fact that Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross. He literally died. He didn't fall into some deep sleep or just pass out, go into a coma. Jesus literally died. Now you might be tempted to say, well, that's kind of what happens to everybody, right? Especially when you look at everything that Jesus went through, stands to reason that he would die. But the significance of his death is the fact that he died for your sins. What that means is he died in your place. That means you and I and everyone deserves to die because of our sin. Every last one of us, be honest. Every last one of us are sinners. There's not a single one of us who can say, hey, I'm pretty good. Now the world wants us to think that we're pretty good. Hey, oh, don't be too hard on yourself. You know, it's okay, it's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. It's okay to not be okay. Now, to not be okay should remind you that everything in this life is not the way it ought to be. And we need something greater. We need someone greater. And Scripture tells us that the penalty for that sin, our sin, your sin and mine, is death. And that means we deserve an eternal, horrible death, separated from God for eternity. That's what we deserved. That's what we deserve. And yet, here's the hope of the resurrection. It's the fact of the gospel here is that Jesus died, and his death was an excruciating death. Not just because of all that he went through, I'm going to go through that in just a moment, but because he bore your sins and mine. I don't know, when I do something wrong, sin, man, I tell you what, it tears me up, right? You know, I look at something, think of something, say something I know I shouldn't have done, and it's like, oh, it just weighs on you. We call it the weight of sin, right? You ever felt that? Ugh. I hope I said a lie. I told a lie. I said something I shouldn't have said. I hope I don't get caught. And it weighs on you until you make it right through confession and repentance, right? But think about Jesus as he bore the weight of all your sins. And not just yours, but the guy next to you. And everybody else in this room, and everybody else in this town, and everybody else in this state, in this country, in the world, for all time. He bore the weight of your sins and mine. Now what we mean by that is that God must judge sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Jesus, the one who never sinned, took his sin upon himself for you. So that you might live. And that you might have his righteousness as he took your sin. We've learned in the last couple of years that's a great exchange, right? He took our sin, he gave us his righteousness. And he paid the penalty for that sin. He bore your sin in his own body on the cross. Someone said he didn't die of all of the punishment and all of the severe things that he went through. He died of a broken heart. I think there's some truth to that. In that he cared for you. He cared for me. Enough to pay the sin debt that we owed, but that we could never pay. He died. It also says that he was buried. This verified his death. not just unconscious, but think of all that he went through. The ridicule, being spat upon, the being whipped with the cat of nine tails, his skin just torn open, and the crown of thorns jammed on his head, nailed to a cross. And as I've read even just this week, that the cross was a horrendous torture, because not only after all of that, but a lot of times they were just tied to the cross and just left out for the elements, naked, stripped naked. But that he was nailed to the cross, and then the pain of trying to catch his breath. My friend, there's no doubt. There are those who try to minimize the fact that he died. No, he literally did die. And if it wasn't enough to say that all of that, that he died with all of that, that he was in the burial customs of the day, wrapped in all of the burial clothes and everything, he would have suffocated in that weak condition, which he was already dead. There's no question about that. But the fact that he was buried indicates that he was truly dead. Verse 4, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's a good place for an amen, right? C.J. Mahaney, in his book, The Cross-Centered Life, says, his resurrection is proof that God accepted his sacrifice. Aren't you happy about that? You know, praise God, he accepted the sacrifice of the one, the Lamb of God, who could take away the sins of the world. And the fact that he rose again says, yep, that was the propitiation. The word propitiation, it means the single sufficient sacrifice. The one, he was the one who could take away the sins of the world for those who would believe. The scriptures verify his resurrection through prophecy as well as the fact of his appearance to others. Look at verses 5 through 8. Now remember, Jewish law only required two witnesses to establish a matter. Verse 5. And then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. He's talking about Paul's. Paul said, I was born at a different time than all the rest of those, and he appeared to me. Paul was an apostle. Paul makes a compelling argument as to the fact that the resurrection is a fact that cannot be denied. In fact, here's a second thought that emphasizes the importance of the resurrection. That is, the resurrection is so important that if it is not true, then Jesus is a hoax. If the resurrection isn't true, this is all a lie. It's just a big hoax where we're having a fast one pulled over on us. Look at verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed and as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were those in the Corinthian church who said, Jesus rose from the dead, but no, there's no resurrection of the dead. They believed that they were teaching a false doctrine about death and the afterlife. And Paul is correcting them. He says, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He's saying if this is not true, then we are just a miserable bunch of people who are gathering for no apparent reason or significant reason. The resurrection is of utmost importance. Josh McDowell, in his book, says, in his book, More Than a Carpenter, says that Jesus is either Lord or he's a liar or a lunatic. If this isn't true, then Jesus is a hoax. We're just wasting our breath. We're just wasting our time here this morning. Let me tell you, the resurrection is of utmost importance. Let's continue to sing about that this morning.
Let's stand and sing.